everybody. Welcome back to episode 2 of Jodi Arias. If I can't have you on Discovery Plus. Look, I already forgot the name of it. I've talked about it so much. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin.
And welcome to our podcast, Southern Onion. Woo! Yay! So happy to have you back for this episode. Thank you for all those who have listened to our first episode. We greatly appreciate it. And this is where we'll go ahead and ask for a like or a comment wherever you listen to us on the podcast. We would greatly appreciate that as well. So now that the business stuff is out of the way, Erin, how's your week been?
It has been a good week. It's actually really warm, so I'm totally enjoying the spring weather. Like, oh, it's amazing. I'm going to grill out tonight. I'm so excited.
Nice.
You know, done with the snow, ready for the sun.
Yes, absolutely. Because what, this time last week, you were in, what, 8 inches of snow, weren't you?
Yes, we had a ton of snow, and I'm not a snow person, so...
No.
So I'm glad it's spring weather is upon us.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and that groundhog wasn't kidding about 6 more weeks of winter either.
No, he was not playing.
No, he does not play, that's for sure. So, we'll get
it. Yes. So how has your week been?
It has been good. It has been busy. Just to not give too much, but I work out in the public with my job. So, like you said, this weather's getting warmer, so more people are coming in to the job that I do. And so it's nice to see people. We're all staying safe and masked and social distance, all that good stuff. But it's been good, and I like that it's staying lighter longer because I am convinced I am solar powered, and I need the sun. If I don't have the sun for a few days, I feel a bit run down. So...
Yes,
and then
definitely.
I think the time changes here in the next couple of weeks, not too much longer. So, yay to lighter, longer days. Woohoo!
Yes. Yay.
Yay. All right. Well, now that we are caught up, we hope everyone listening has had a good week. Again, thank you for joining us again for part 2 of Jodi Arias and the Discovery Plus documentary, If I Can't Have You. So where we left off was where Jodi and Travis had met out in Las Vegas at the prepaid legal. Got it right this time.
Yay!
Yes, I know. I'm so excited. I wrote it down. At the prepaid legal convention. And Erin found that now they're known as Legal Shield. So the company's still around. It's just changed ownership and everything. But... there were pictures of Jodi and Travis together, and it almost seemed like it was just instant attraction. He was enamored. They stayed up to what, 4 a.m. Talking and getting to know each other, which, I mean, I don't know about you, Erin, but I've had a couple of really bad first dates where they pretty much ended in about 90 minutes. So to meet somebody and talk till 4 a.m., you know, you're gonna be feeling pretty good about who you just met, I would think.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, so they get together now, but they didn't live in the same state. Jodi was in California, right? And Travis is in Utah.
Travis is in Mesa, Arizona.
Arizona, that's right.
Oh, no. And Jodi, yes, and Jodi lives out in Big Sur, California with Daryl, her boyfriend, at the time that she meets Travis.
Okay, so here they meet in a town that neither of them are from, but they get along great, and now they got to go back to where they're from, but they still keeping, you know, talking to each other, and I can only imagine the phone calls and the text and how sweet they are and how, oh, I miss you and all that good mushy stuff that you have, you know, at the beginning of relationships. And they were together 8 months, correct? Officially?
Right. They were officially together at 8 months.
Okay.
Yes. And then they broke up amicably, supposedly.
Okay. Right. Oh, yeah.
But who knows,
it's always amicable. Right. Yeah.
No, right, yeah.
yeah.
So,
Please email us if you really had an amicable breakup. Thank you.
right, yes. I would like to know you
Yeah,
too.
because I would like to
Yeah.
know this.
Yeah, me too. Definitely, you
That's
know,
a
yes.
unicorn, okay? So,
Yes, it
but during the time that they so now they're broken up, but they can't just
is.
seem to stay away from each other. They're like polar opposites, so they're attracted to each other. And it seems as if Travis has moved on. Travis has other women in his life. And Jody, though, does she really move on from Travis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Because as we know, I don't want to give too much into the story, but as we know of the time when the murder occurred, she was going to see her new boyfriend, Ryan Burns. But as far as when her and Travis first broke up, I mean, we know that Travis moved on. He had other girls he was dating, but he was keeping Jody on the side. And I don't know if Jody was really with anybody else or if she was kind of like, well, Travis and I may be broken up, but we're still physically seeing each other. Like they were still doing their intimate physical stuff. But Travis also had other girlfriends on the side.
And so, but they still just couldn't seem to move on, move past each
Right.
other. They weren't ready to leave each other behind, if you will.
Well, right. Because when Travis and Jody broke up, Jody picks up and moves to Mesa, Arizona after they have officially broken up. And people were kind of like, wait a minute, y'all broke up. Why would you want to go move and be in the same city with him? And she would come over and clean his condo. And again, they were still physically together. So you're right. They just couldn't like make that clean break of we're broken up, we're moving on with our lives. They constantly kept each other in the loop. Yeah.
And as we talked about, you know, even Jody's first boyfriend in high school, you know, cheated on her, didn't treat her the best. So this is what she has based her idea of what a relationship should be off that very first relationship. And that's why, you know, you always worry and you want your kids, if you have kids, to, you know, you want that first relationship to at least be not so dramatic or filled with drama and conflict. You want it to be like, oh, how cute, they're holding hands, and then, you know, break up and you go out on the playground and tell your friends about how much you don't like them anymore, you know.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it seems Jody waited till she was a bit older to have that first serious relationship, and unfortunately, it turned out to be not a good one.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And
And when she was with Daryl Brewer after she broke up with Bobby, he was a great guy, but he's like, I don't want to get married and I don't want to have children. And Jody really wanted those things. So then here comes Travis, who's 30 years old, very successful, nice house, nice car, and he does want to have kids. And it's like, okay, he's perfect on paper, right? I mean, he looks great to her. So, I mean, I can see where she's kind of like, I think that he's the one. I think she really felt he was the one for her.
Oh yeah, 'cause like he said, he checked all the boxes for her. Like, oh my gosh, finally somebody that does it all. You know, works, makes money, personable, people like him, obviously. I mean, he seemed to be the center of attention, life of the party, kind of those people that others are drawn to. And so how could she not be excited and be like, oh, I need to learn more about this wonderful person because, you know, he meets everything that I want and that I need. So I wonder what he was thinking, because from the friends that they interviewed, he's like, I've met the woman I want to marry. I mean, that's a huge statement, especially at 30 to say.
Correct. I think when he was with Skye and Chris Hughes, and we touched on this in last episode, that they were saying, hey, we're seeing these disturbing behaviors. And Travis was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm baffled by what you're saying. So you're right. Travis thought, hey, Jody's the one, going to be the mom of my kids, my wife. And Jody's thinking the same thing. But I think when Skye and Chris Hughes came in and said, we're seeing this disturbing behavior. I think that's when Travis may have taken a breath, maybe taken a step and gone, well, my friends aren't really liking her. Is this the right person for me?
Right. That maybe what he saw as cute behavior of, oh, she's always with me, she always wants to see what I'm doing. Now that the friend said this, and he's like, wait, is that really cute or is that creepy? And it, I mean, I'm sure we all have. Your perception can be changed on something by one comment from a trusted source. You could look at something and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But a trusted friend comes in and says, that's wrong. That is not okay. And you're like, well, wait. Well, yeah, you're right. It's not okay. And it just changes everything. So that's where I wonder, you know, so the breakup's done. She's moved now to be closer. She's cleaning his house, condo, and they're still having relations. And so when, I wonder at what point, because maybe that is when it changed for him as, oh, this is somebody I'm going to marry to. Well, this is somebody I'm just going to play with. This is somebody that I'm not serious about anymore, but she seems way into me, so I'll just do what I want. And right, I wonder if that's when the text messaging started of him being so awful to her in these text messages. And I don't want to go over them verbatim because they show some of them and I don't, you know, there's no reason to other than they were just bad.
And some awful language in there, but I do have one that I do want to share that I think is very kind of tame.
Sure, yeah.
This was on GChat, which I've never heard of GChat before. Erica had taught me about that. I did not know what GChat was, so I'm like, I don't know.
You're welcome.
But this text message I'm getting ready to read was 9 days before the murder, okay? And this is when Jody and Travis were broken up, and she moved back to California. So she moved to Mesa, and then that didn't work out for Jody, so she decides, I'm going back to California. And this text message reads, Travis wrote, don't freaking ignore me. Jody says, I'm emailing you. Travis says, you were flirting with him, and you know better. Jody said, oh, like you, I flirt, but it's harmless. It means nothing. Travis writes back and says, I have never dealt with a more solid form of evil.
Wow.
So, you know, Jody's, okay, he's upset with her because I guess she was flirting with somebody. And she writes back and says, look, just like you, I flirt, but it's harmless. And he says, you're a solid form of evil. Like, what made it escalate? What made it go from like 0 to 100 over harmless flirting? Remember, they're broken up. She's moved away. He doesn't want to be with her, right? So why is he so upset that she allegedly was flirting with somebody?
Right. Exactly. Why does he still have that jealousy of somebody that, like you said, they broke up? So why does he still want to control who she talks to, what she does? And I think it's because he liked that her attention was just on him. I mean, and sure, that makes anybody feel good in a healthy relationship. When you have all their attention and you know it, you feel special, you feel empowered, you know, you feel like you could do anything because you have the attention of someone that you like. And I think that's where it got, where the relationship started to get very twisted. And you see through those text messages the emotional, the psychological abuse. And where we talked about, you know, why not just leave? Why, if I got a text message that said any of that, I would like to think that I would put the phone down and I would get out of whatever situation I'm in. I'd be like, I will not have anybody talk to me this way, period.
Right.
No matter what the history, no matter how long we've been together, no matter what we've been through together, you don't talk to another human being that way. But yet, he's talking to her that way, and she's kind of giving it back to him, you know?
Right, yeah.
But then I don't, that's the point, that's the part I'm like, Why hasn't anybody alerted to be like, Travis, get away from her. We told you she's dangerous. Get away. And I don't know, did Jody have any like close friends? I mean, they interviewed people from high school and stuff, but.
Right. I don't think she really did. There was a friend that she was in her wedding,
Okay.
but that's the only really person I know. And she was supposed to take the stand in the trial, but ended up not doing that for
Oh.
some reason. But yeah, there was no like close, I don't think Jody had a close group of people that she could go to and say, what do I need to do? And them support her on that decision.
Yeah.
I think she was kind of just out on her own.
Yeah, and it's so
So,
important.
and like you said, in it's, yeah.
Well, it's so important. You've got to have a good support system around you, whether it's people from work that you're co-worker slash friends with, in your personal life, if you go to church or, something like that, that you have a group of people that you can confide in, be like, I'm not sure about this situation, and they could help you get out of it, hopefully.
Right, exactly.
And so I looked up online over the week and found an article on joinonelove.org because the psychology of this fascinates me. Why do people who argue and are so mean to each other can't seem to stay away from each other? I do not do drama. Anybody that knows me knows I do not do drama. I will not yell. I will not argue. I'll talk, but I don't do drama. So I don't understand it when people who are just meow, 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 meow at each other all the time. So this was, and I'll go over it quick. It says 11 reasons why people stay in emotional and psychologically abusive relationships. One is society normalizes unhealthy behavior, so people may not understand that their relationship is abusive. So again, Jody had that pattern of abuse starting from her first boyfriend. Number two, emotional abuse destroys your self-esteem, so it makes it feel impossible to start fresh. And I totally believe that. If you're low on self-esteem, you don't feel like you can, take the trash out correctly. And number three was it's a cycle. Or the cycle. After every abusive incident comes a makeup honeymoon phase. And I think that's where a lot of people get caught up, is in number three. You have a blowout fight, but oh, they're so sweet to me for 2 weeks after that. And so when this fight's happening, they're like, okay, just get through it because they're going to be really nice to me at the end. Four. It's dangerous to leave. Statistics show that women are 70% more likely to be killed in the weeks after leaving their abusive relationship than any other time in the relationship. And obviously, this goes for men as well. It didn't give the statistics on how likely it is for men to be killed leaving a re abusive relationship. Five, no, it's not hard to break up, but it's also hard to escape that cycle of control. Women attempt to leave 7 times before they finally leave for good. So I wonder how many times Jody and Travis had their official breakup, but how many times did they break up after that?
Exactly, yes.
Six, society perpetuates a ride or die mindset. Meaning that, don't give up. Never give up on the relationship. Maybe things will get better. Just stick with it. Stick through it. No. If your relationship's crap, get out. Period. Relationships aren't meant to be crummy and dramatic and filled with arguments and hurt feelings and sleeping on couches for weeks at a time. That's just not meant. It's not meant for that to be that way. I do not feel. Let me put that disclaimer on it. Seven, they feel responsible for their partner or their behavior. After a conflict, an abuser will turn the situation around to make their partner feel guilty or as though they are somehow at fault. This type of behavior is known as gaslighting. Your favorite word, Erin.
Yes, I know. Gaslighting, yes.
But how many times you see the abused apologize for the abuser. But then the abuser go, well, if you hadn't flirted with them, I wouldn't have had to, you know, lash out at you.
Right.
8, if they stick it out, things might change. Belief. Trust me, things are not going to change. You cannot, what is the saying? You can't change a tiger's stripes or something like that.
Right, yes.
I'm sure I got that so wrong and I apologize.
No, okay.
9, social pressure to be in a perfect relationship. Oh, wait, hold on. Newsflash, this just in. There's no perfect relationship, so stop acting like it.
What?
There is, right, I know.
But in the Disney, but in the Disney movies, they are.
Right, okay. Yeah, in every Hallmark what? Movie, as much as I love them.
Right.
I am a Hallmark addict, Hallmark Christmas movie yes. addict, and those places don't exist. I tried to find them on Google Maps. They're not there.
Yes.
10, fear of how others will react. People often feel embarrassed to admit that they have an abusive partner for fear of being judged, blamed, or marginalized, pitied, or looked down on. And that part, when I read that, it was really sad because I like to think I don't care about what other people think, but you do. You do. You care what other people think. It might not take your whole time of what you worry about, but... And then 11, and this is a big one, they share a life together, meaning they share expenses, living, kids, that's why they can't get out. And that's a huge one. But, and I do want to go ahead and put in the number. If you or you know of someone who is trying to get out of an abusive situation, the phone number to call is 1-800-799-SAFE. And that's 1-800-799-7233. That is an organization that will help people safely leave an abusive situation. So I will post that on Instagram and attach it to the notes for this podcast. But, you know, really, no one knows the full story. It's powerful. The control that he had on her and that she felt for him was immense because she drove across several states just to be with him. So why, what changed in him? Was she, and why did she do it? Was she promised better days? Was she promised, you know, I mean, she joined the Mormon church and got baptized in the Mormon church for him.
Right. Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. So what else have you noticed? I mean, those were, I had to get my psychology out there, so I'm good.
No, you're fine. No, I mean, it, because I've seen other documentaries with this. I've also read a couple of books on it. Mm-hmm. And it, nobody really knows because Jody does not just openly come out and say anything. And that's what I liked about this documentary was it did talk a little bit about what she wrote in her journals. Mm-hmm. And in one of her journal entries, she wrote that she feels like she's the whipping girl for Travis.
Sure.
And that, you know, whatever he says, it's like, yes, Travis, whatever you say, Travis, you're right, Travis. And Jody's writing music. Now, I have never heard this in all the other documentaries and cases that I've read on this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I've ever heard that. So it shows you that she just felt like, I just got to say, yes, you're right, whatever it takes. To keep him happy and to keep this going.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if she thought eventually he's going to come around and say, Jody, you're the one for me after all, and I'm going to marry you, and we're going to have this family we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think she was holding on to that. I really do.
Yeah.
I think she really was holding on to that promise, that hope that that relationship was going to be more.
Right. That he was sowing his wild oats or whatever.
Right, yeah.
That.
I mean, he would go out with these girls, but then he'd always come back to Jody.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that thought of, okay, go out and have your fun because you're going to be back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's probably what she was thinking was, he's going to come back again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but this is why maybe, you know, we don't know for sure. We know that they were in an argument based on text messages and emails that had been written. And Jody decided she was going to go to Utah to meet Ryan Burns. And this is a guy that she had met at PPL as well. And that's the place, obviously, to get boyfriends.
Yeah, evidently.
yeah, so she met him. And so she was going to Utah to go visit him. But Jody decided to make a little pit stop. And that's when she went to Travis's. And we know that she got there about 4 in the morning. And Travis let her in. They went to bed, they got up, they became physical all day, mm-hmm. and then Travis goes to take a shower, and Travis ends up dead. And so, you know, there were pictures on the camera, and I don't want to get too much into the specifics of it. I mean, they do a little bit in this documentary just about, mm-hmm. you know, she was taking pictures of him in the shower, and then Jody claims that she dropped the camera, and that Travis became enraged, and he came after her, mm-hmm. and she defended herself. Mm-hmm. And that's where she comes from on this. We do know that Jody leaves. She does go to Utah. She mm-hmm. does see Ryan Burns. Ryan Burns said she's completely normal, is acting normal, mm-hmm. and didn't really notice anything different in her demeanor. Mm-hmm. When Travis's friends are the ones that found Travis 5 days later, in his condo,
right.
and Travis had roommates, but like we said in the last episode, right. they blamed it on the dog.
Right. So, poor dog.
yeah, poor Napoleon got blamed on that.
Right, so, huh?
And so immediately his friends call the police and they say, "Do you know who could have done this?" And the very first name that comes out of her mouth is Jody Arias. Mm-hmm. So his friends kind of knew there Jody was around. There was some issues going on with Jody. Mm-hmm. And so they naturally thought it has to be her. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, of course, we find out that it is Jody. So mm-hmm. I want to say one thing. When Sky and Chris Hughes were interviewed by Detective Flores, he's the one that took this case on. Mm-hmm. They were in there interviewing. I don't know if you remember this part. Mm-hmm. And Sky and Chris were talking, and they said, "We think Jody killed our friend Travis." Mm-hmm. And so he didn't really have any evidence at that point. Mm-hmm. And as they were getting up to leave, Sky makes a comment to Flores, and she said, "Please don't give Jody our new address because they moved, mm-hmm. because she would take our kids and raise them." And, like, starts laughing.
Yeah, that seems so out of left field to say that. Why would you say that? I mean, had Jody said something, "Oh, I'm going to take your kids and raise them as my own"? I mean, there needed to be more context. And I know with evidence and trials, you'll never see the entire interview. But to me, if I was the detective, I would have been like, "What makes you say that?"
Right, right.
Because that was pretty huge.
That's a pretty bold statement to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but then
that was a very bold statement.
Yeah, and but then you have to wonder, because they said that, and they probably did not have much evidence at that point, because it's very early in the case. Is this where they're given a suspect's name and they just tried to make the evidence fit? I'm not saying she didn't right. kill him. She says she killed him. I'm not right. I'm not arguing that. But right. had they not said that, would she have gone? Could it have been that she could have gone up to see the new boyfriend and she never had been found?
Right. Well, and I think that's where it's that disconnect of, you know, she went back about her life normally. Mm-hmm. And then one of her friends called her and said, "Hey, Travis is dead," she was hysterical. She was freaking out. Her mom yes. said that she was very upset.
Yes.
And she actually called Detective Flores and said, "Hey, I want to help you in any way that I can."
Right.
And why would a killer do that? I mean, like, right. why would a killer be like, "I'm going to call the police on my right. and see what they," I guess to see what they know, to be honest, to see if they're figuring this out.
Right. It's like arsons that show up at the fire just to see what they've done.
Right. Just to see if they know the truth.
Very you narcissistic, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did bring Jody in, and when they interviewed her first, she said, "Look, I was not there. I have not seen Travis in over a month. I've not even really talked to Travis." And so Detective Worth lets her go for a little bit. Then he finally shows her the pictures because the camera had been recovered in the washer of Travis's house, and they found the little, is it like a SIMS card
It's SD
or
card, like a scan disk card. Memory card.
Okay, see, I don't know all this.
It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know all this jargon.
That's
So,
why I'm here.
and so, yeah, that's exactly right. So they showed her the pictures, and she goes, "That looks like me." And he's like, "Okay, it's obviously Jody." And slowly, you see in the interviews that Jody starts putting herself in the scene. At first, it was, "I was not there." Then it was like, "Yeah, that could be me." Then we know that Jody comes up with a story of there were two people that broke in and they shot Travis and they let her go. So it's like, yeah, I was there, but I didn't do it. And then finally, when we get to the trial, Jody says, "Okay, I killed him, but it was self-defense." So we see her kind of getting there progressively, just a little bit each time. But will we know the whole truth? No. I don't think we're going to know exactly what transpired that caused her to have a day of fun with him that then turned into her killing him and leaving him in his shower for 5 days. I don't know. And I
Well,
don't think we'll ever know.
no, we won't ever know, but I'm a huge conspiracy theorist. Like I'll always play devil's advocate 'cause it's way more fun. With the pictures that they found, and I know somebody who works in forensics at a, at a police department. And I asked them, I said, could the date stamp on that camera, you could never set it, you could change it, you can't, there's no way to prove when you set that date. So the pictures that were of Jody and Travis, and it has the date on there of the 5 days prior before he's found, deceased, could somebody have not gone in and just put the date like that and set it like that? That's, I know that's reaching.
Right,
I know.
right.
But again,
I mean, right,
conspiracy.
yeah. Right. Just gotta
So
throw it out
I'm
there,
just
right?
throwing
You
it
know,
out
just kind of stick it out
there.
there, you know.
See if it swims,
Right,
right?
right. I mean, and you know, it's interesting because even Jody said, "I mean, are you sure the dates even read on that?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, you know." So yeah, I mean,
I question it. I
you
honestly
question.
question that. Not the parts of where it shows him after the murder, but the parts of where it's him and her in these provocative, nude photos, I just question the date on those. I don't know. I don't know. But we'll never know. I, again, just
No.
like to play devil's advocate because it's fun. So,
Right. Well, I mean, you never know because there's so many questions that we'll never have answered with this case. Because Jody is Jo to Jody, it's like, "Hey, I told you what happened, but how much of it can you really believe?" Because she's told us so many times, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it." She's been on TV saying that. But you know, that's self-preservation too. I mean, this is kind of
Oh,
like
right.
I'm trying to do self-preservation, and you know, I'm not as bad as this is. And so she
Well,
was probably doing a lot of that during these interviews as well.
sure. Take any child, teenager, adult that is in trouble and getting called to the floor. The first thing you're going to do is deny, and then you're going to try to change the truth to where you don't look so bad, and then eventually the truth will come out and you're like, "Well, why didn't you just start with the truth, honestly? Save yourself some face, if you will, and just say, yeah, this is why it happened," because I think things would have gone different for her if she had just started with the truth and said, "Look at how he was talking to me. Look, I was trying to make things better." And I'm not saying this is what she said, but you, or that's what happened. But why not just start with the truth and then go from there instead of, "No, I didn't. Well, two people were there when I was there and they killed him." And then, "Well, yeah, I did it. Sorry."
Right.
Come on.
Well, and her defense on that was she was saying that she was trying to protect Travis's reputation.
But again, that's that abusive relationship. You're trying to make excuses for them, you know?
That just kind of
I
threw
know.
me when
I
she
was like,
said that. I was
what?
like, what? You know, you're
Goodness.
fighting for your life here. You know, I mean,
Right.
Jodi was put up for the death penalty.
Yes.
And her case started in January of 2013. Now, remember, Travis was killed in 08.
Wow. 5 years
We're
to
going into,
trial.
yeah, right. So we go to trial in 2013. She is found guilty of first degree murder, but the jury just didn't know what her sentencing should be. So, like I said, she was up for the death penalty and they couldn't decide. So they had to do a the penalty phase had to be retried.
Yes.
And so I did watch that. That was back in 2015. And Jodi was, again, the jury could not reach a sentencing for her. It was 11 for death, one for not death. 11 to
Wow.
1.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Jodi is now life in prison without parole.
Okay.
She is out. They actually moved her recently. I mean, to tell you this, they moved her recently to Good, it's called Goodyear, Arizona. It's still in Arizona
Okay.
because that's where she killed Travis and that's where she'll be.
Okay.
But she's had boyfriends, girlfriends behind bars.
Yeah.
You know, she's done all, you know, she's a
Making the best of it, I guess, if you
right, she's making the best of it.
will.
Yeah, and she has tried to, you know, her appeals have gone through. So, I mean, she's tried to appeal this, but one of them just recently got denied because Kirk Nurmi wrote a book about his experience being with Jodi. And of course, he was giving details that obviously he shouldn't have been. He ended up getting disbarred
Well, and the
for that.
prosecutor was disbarred as
Yes.
well because he enjoyed a little bit of his fame with a blogger. And to me, when the lawyers cannot uphold the integrity of the case, then why would she not be granted a new trial? You know, why would she not be given a new trial? Because the lawyers did not uphold their part of things, if you.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it here where I live locally that the judge was found to be on medications, pain medications. So they gave him a new, they gave the people's, they gave the people a new trial because of it. So why did she not get a new one? Because those two lawyers couldn't, you know, keep quiet and keep it to themselves.
Well, and with Juan Martinez, the prosecutor, he was dating a blogger that was blogging about this case. And of course, that's what got him in trouble. And he ended up getting
Because he,
disbarred as well.
yeah, and he probably gave her information
Right.
in confidence, but if your income is a blogger and you're getting this these juicy tidbits that the public isn't privileged to, I mean, most people would use that to further their career.
Right,
So I don't know, maybe I'm not done with Jodi Arias and I want to see a new trial happen, but I, you know, I feel like that sums up what that Discovery Plus documentary was about. I feel they did a great job on it. I learned some things, saw things from a different perspective, and I know I've had a listener reach out to us and say she got Discovery Plus so she could watch it. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it, go see it. You know, you know what we say about it now. Now you go watch it if you haven't already and let us know what you think about it. I would
Yes.
like to hear opinions on this.
Right. And I want to say what when they ended this documentary, what I really liked about it was Jodi had written in her journal 5 things she was grateful for.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it was babies, pizza, the shape of my body, my hair, and Travis Alexander.
I was just like, wow. I still will never understand that.
Yeah,
And
me either. Me either.
so that will wrap up our Jodi Arias, if I can't have you, discussion. And I enjoyed this. I thought it was great. I know we could talk about this a lot longer,
Yes.
but
Right.
we will send it out to the listeners now. You all go watch it. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast. Also, we do have an email. If you have thoughts, ideas, if you have a suggestion on something you would like to for us to cover and hear about, please do so. Our email is southernonion2@gmail.com. And our next topic, which I am scared, intrigued, worried that I'm going to have nightmares. Because of the two of us, I am the more sensitive one.
Yes. Thanks.
So, yeah. Erin's not, but no, she is.
Yeah.
But this was suggested.
I'm so bold.
Yeah, this was suggested from one of our friends, Chelsea. Hi, Chelsea.
Hey, Hi, Chelsea.
Is about the case of the serial killer Edward Wayne Edwards. There's a lot to this, and just get ready to hear me go a whole lot. Some of this stuff is gross.
Oh, man.
But I like a good challenge. I like a good challenge.
That's right.
So, Edward Wayne Edwards, if you have questions on Edward Wayne Edwards and would like for us to look that up, give our thoughts and opinions about, please feel free to reach out to us. Instagram, email. I'm working on the website. That will be up in the next week or so because we have jobs. So, this is what we do for fun. And just a huge thank you to everyone. This is something we've talked about doing for a while and finally took the plunge. And we are just having so much fun. I hope you all are too. And so I guess we'll just end it there for this week. So we will be back with you next Monday for your drive or easy listening that you do in the car or wherever you listen to podcasts at. So, Erin, any big plans for the week coming up?
No, I don't think so. I'm just going to enjoy the weather and just
grilled
ready
hamburgers.
For Easter time, too. I've been decorating for Easter, believe it or not. So,
well, this past year has changed, I think, a way a lot of us celebrate and that we take more time to decorate and do the little things, which, you know, let's walk away from this with a bit more appreciation for the small stuff.
Yes.
So,
yes,
all
definitely.
Right. Excellent. So, again, thank you to all who are listening. Yes. Feel free to like us, leave a comment, suggestions, let us know. We appreciate all of you. So, until next time, stay safe. Keep peeling back those layers of true crime, and we will talk to you next time. Bye, Erin.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye, Erica.